My brothers and sisters, today is a day of rejoicing. Today, January 17th, marks the feast day of Our Lady of Hope. Also, 10 years ago, on January the 17th, 2006, Bishop Laverty was here to dedicate our church. And I know, looking at the congregation, some of you were here for that great day. For this reason, you can see the dedication candles are lit, showing that when the bishop dedicated the church, the light of Christ came into this church, and this church is to be a beacon of faith, that apostolic faith handed on to us by the apostles. And it's with great joy, then, that we offer this Mass, and we welcome Father Dan Ketter from the Archdiocese of Atlanta, who's visiting today, and, of course, our good Father Farrell. Now, looking out also, I see that some of you were here even when we had our first Mass back on August the 6th, 2000, at Holy Potomac Falls High School. And there we gathered, and we had great hope trusting that our Blessed Mother would intercede, that our Lord would pour forth bounteous graces so that we could work together, generously offering our gifts, as St. Paul describes, to build a parish, to have a thriving parish, and then, of course, one day to have our own church and school. It's a wonderful coincidence that our gospel passage for this Sunday is the wedding feast of Cana. So, just a little background at first. So, Jesus, his apostles, our Blessed Mother Mary, have traveled from Nazareth to this little town of Cana in the hillside region, about 5 miles northeast of Nazareth. If you're wondering, well, where's St. Joseph? Tradition holds that by this time, St. Joseph had died. He had passed from this life. So, with that in mind, we have this wedding feast. Now, being those Jewish times, being a small village of about 200 people, probably the whole village came for this wedding feast. For a good Jewish wedding feast, this could last for maybe 7, even 8 days. So those of you of fathers of future brides-to-be should be very grateful we don't live in such times. So they expected then to be fed, to be given drink, and wine was the common drink. Well, as we hear, disaster strikes. There's no more wine. Our Blessed Mother, though, unbeknownst to the bride and groom, sees the problem. She intercedes. She approaches our dear Lord, and she simply says, "They have no more wine." Now, our Lord responds, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." Our Lord's not being discourteous or disrespectful. Back then, the term woman would be a term of courtesy, like we would use madam or ma'am, or if we were on Downton Abbey, your ladyship, something like that. So, Jesus is being respectful, but he's also changing the relationship here. It's not simply mother-son, but disciple-Lord. Our Lord also notes his hour has not yet come. He hasn't begun preaching or performing miracles in preparation for his passion, death, and resurrection. So to do this miracle would be almost like to solve a catering problem. It wouldn't be a miracle that elicits a profession of faith, but really just a crisis that needs a quick resolution. Nevertheless, our Blessed Mother trusts. She has hope. She says to the waiters, "Do whatever he tells you," knowing, trusting, that Jesus will answer the prayer, and he'll answer the prayer in the best way. As we know, our Lord takes these 6 stone jars of 120 to 180 gallons, if we did the math, and transforms them into wine. And not just wine, the best wine of all. So our Lord responds not to a disciple, but to his mother. He responds to the asking of his mother, and he responds generously with an abundance. My brothers and sisters, as we think about this miracle story then, we see not only a miracle that shows Jesus truly is Lord and Savior, the divine Messiah, but we see the important role of our Blessed Mother. She is our mother. When the hour did come, our Blessed Mother stood at the foot of that cross with St. John. She stood there in the hope of the resurrection, trusting that that awful sacrifice to forgive our sins would give way to the glory of the resurrection. As our Lord looked down and saw her, he said, "Woman, behold your son." And then to St. John, "Son, behold your mother." He was giving the care of his Blessed Mother to St. John because she was a widow and Jesus had no brothers and sisters. Spiritually, though, he was giving her to us as our mother. Mary truly is our mother in grace, our spiritual mother. This is why at Pentecost, she's present with the apostles. They're going to receive the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit to go out and evangelize the world. Our Blessed Mother's there, though, because she would be praying for them, interceding for them. And Jesus, of course, always hears the prayers of his Blessed Mother. Well, my brothers and sisters, in a way that helps us understand our feast day. So our feast day is taken from a time of crisis. In 1870, Prussia had declared war on France in the summer. And immediately the Prussian army just went right through France, conquered Paris by Christmas, and now they were moving in the Normandy section. On January 17th, in 1871, they were just 10 miles outside the little village of Pontmain. The people were scared because their relatives were serving in the French army. They wondered, when the Prussian army comes in, what's going to happen to us? What will become of our village, our families? So Father Guérin, the parish priest, at morning mass said, "Pray the rosary. Ask for our Blessed Mother to intercede." So the people did. At 5 o'clock, two little boys, Eugene and Joseph Barbette, were helping their father in the barn. So they were leaving the barn, and they looked across the way, and above a rooftop of a neighbor's house was this beautiful woman, dressed in blue, with stars on her dress, a veil, a simple crown. As they looked at her, sometimes she'd hold a cross, sometimes she'd have her hands out open. During the course of the evening, four other children would see this apparition of our Blessed Mother. Soon the whole village was gathered there, including Father Guérin. They started praying the rosary. At about 8 o'clock in the evening, our Blessed Mother did not say anything, but it's like this banner appeared into the sky. And the banner read, "Pray, my children, my son is moved with compassion. Your prayers will soon be answered." At 8:45, our Blessed Mother disappeared. But exactly at that point, General von Schmidt of the Prussian army received word to stop the advance and to begin to withdraw. 10 days later, an armistice was signed and the war was over. For this reason, this apparition has been entitled an appearance of Our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Hope. As we ponder this then, as we have this joyous celebration, we need to remember we are people of hope and we have great trust in our Blessed Mother's prayers, who is always interceding for us. As a people of hope, I encourage you, especially in the world in which we live, to say the rosary. I mentioned this on January 1st. The rosary is very powerful. Pope St. John Paul II said that by offering the rosary, we're looking at the face of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. How can we not grow in love for our Lord and our Blessed Mother than by saying the rosary? So with that, pray, and pray for a conversion of this world, a defeat of the forces of evil. When I was a kid in the 1960s, we used to say the rosary for the conversion of Russia, the Soviet Union. Well, look where it is today. Well, we ought to be saying the rosary for the conversion of this world, especially for those people who, in the name of some God they believe in, use violence, use the sword to make believers. We need to use the rosary to ask for the conversion of so many people who've grown lukewarm, lax in the faith, even have left the church. We should pray the rosary for the conversion of our country. And I mentioned specifically for the Little Sisters of the Poor. It's hard to believe that a Supreme Court case that will be heard this March may well shut them down in our country because they can't obey the health care law provisions. What a tragedy. So we should be praying the rosary, asking our Blessed Mother to intercede for us to her divine Son. Also, as people of hope, let us commit ourselves again to being beacons of hope. These candles are lit. They show us the light of Christ. You and I need to be mindful that when we leave here, we're called to be that light. It's so wonderful that we look here around, we see young people, we see people who've come home from college for the holidays, we have our older parishioners. How wonderful that is. It's good to be here because that gives us hope. But when we leave here, let us be the messengers of hope, showing that it is the light of Christ that can never be defeated. And with the prayers of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Hope, we certainly will triumph with Christ. May God bless you.